All right, good morning again. It's 11 o'clock, so we like to do things on time, so we're going to start on time. We're not going to try to have any congregational singing this morning, but we do have a couple specials. But before we have Kelly come and sing our first one, I would like to make a few announcements and just bring you up to speed. We had a board meeting last night. And made some decisions, and just wanted to let you know sort of what we're planning and what we're looking forward to. The evening service tonight will be online, as well as prayer meeting online. Next week, we're going to try to have all three services here in the parking lot. So we'll have Sunday school, the morning service, evening service, and then prayer meeting here in the parking lot. And then if nothing changes, our plans are to try to get back into the building on the last Sunday of May, May 31st. Before then, we will sanitize and sterilize all the surfaces in the building, including the pews and all the door handles and everything that people would touch. And, of course, we'll do that every time we have a service in the building. As some have suggested, we're going to get a couple of thermometers that we can scan you as you come in. Just to make sure you don't have a temperature that exceeds, and I don't remember what the number is right now, but if you have a temperature that exceeds that, we're going to ask you to go somewhere and just cool down for a minute and come back and try again. If you're still a little hot, we're going to ask you to go get in your car and just listen to the services on the radio. We're going to keep this feature going, even though we are going to go back into the building. We're going to ask those that feel like they need it to wear a mask. We're going to make that optional, not mandatory. But if you feel that you need to wear one, you wear one. And we are going to practice social distancing. So we'll have the pews marked off. We're going to use the fellowship hall and the auditorium to try to keep people at a distance. And so, again, depending on how long we have to do that, we're going to ask you to alternate. So if you get to go into the auditorium one week, we're going to ask you to get to go into the gym the next week, and so that people will have an equal opportunity to go back and forth. And during this period, we're going to try to eliminate many of the touch points. And so we'll have the doors propped open. We won't be producing a bulletin. We won't be using the psalm books. We won't be having our normal handshaking time. And then we'll take the offering with a box in the back that you can just drop your offering in as you come in, as you go out. And by the way, this morning, I just want to say a word of appreciation to all of you that have been faithful during the past 2 months about sending your tithes and your offerings to the church. The Lord has blessed because of your faithfulness. But this morning, if you haven't had a chance to send your offerings in for the month yet, we'll have men at each of the exits with a bucket. And you can just, they'll hold their arm out, and you can hold your arm out and drop the offering in the bucket. We're gonna hold off on a while yet on Sunday school for the children. We are going to explore this week the online meeting rooms and set the teachers up so that they can have a time during the week where they will announce it to everybody, and the kids can tune in during that time and have their lessons for as long as we think it's necessary to keep the kids. We know that the kids, when they are going to get together, they'll want to be close to one another. And just until we get some further guidelines or this thing passes as the summer comes on, we're going to try to do that. The first Sunday in June, we'll be having the Lord's Supper. But what we're going to do is they sell the juice and the bread in one packet. And so we're going to put that in the back. We'll just open the box and ask you to get those on your way in. And then we'll have the Lord's Supper the first Sunday in June. Not going to have a choir for a while. Probably won't schedule Vacation Bible School. Won't schedule Senior Saints or anything like that until the fall. And so just and then no junior church during this time. So we're going to ask families to stay together in the auditorium or in the gym. I know I covered that real quickly. We'll be sending out a letter with all that information this week. We'll put it on the website. We'll put it on Facebook and try to keep everybody posted. And then I wanted to let you know that when we do get back together, we are going to try to make up for all the birthdays and anniversaries and special occasions, like Mother's Day. I can't tell you how many notes I got from the moms that said, "Where's my candy bar?" And I try. Yes, go ahead, honk. But I tried to lay it off on Patty that she ate them all before I could get them, but nobody believed that. The first Sunday we're together for Mother's Day, we'll have the candy bars in boxes, untouched, on the back, that you can pick one up on the way in. But we'll try to recognize all the birthdays and anniversaries that we missed during this time. I do want to point out to you this morning that Brother Al is here. Al and Nancy. Al and Nancy are right back over there. They're in the back row just in case he gets to feeling bad. But it's such a joy to have Al and Nancy here today. He's making a little bit of progress every day, and just want you to keep praying for him as he continues to recover. All right, is Brother Bud here? I didn't see him, but I want to make sure if he's here, I want to recognize him. Brother Bud's still undergoing chemo, so keep him in your prayers. How about Gary and Carla? Are they here? All right, keep Gary in your prayers. Gary goes for chemo tomorrow, so please keep them too in your prayers. All right, I do have one special announcement. David proposed to Betty this past week and gave her a ring. So they're right over here. So we're happy about that, and we'll let you know what their plans are as they make them. All right, again, thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then Kelly is going to come and sing for us. And then I'll read the scripture, and then Brother John will come and sing for us, and then I'll preach. So let's pray together. Father, thank you again for letting us be here this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you again that we can meet together, even though it's this way. Maybe not a way we'd like to meet together, but Father, we are together, and we're grateful for that. And again, thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting with us in the Sunday school lesson. And again, I pray that you'll meet with us now as we hear these two specials and as we read your word again, and then as we hear it preached. So, Holy Spirit, just take charge of the rest of the service. Help us to uplift Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, I did want to point out, too, that there's a couple of canines in attendance this morning. I know Daryl and Linda has theirs, and Jack and Teresa has theirs. And so if you want to bring your dog to church, it's okay as long as we're meeting in the parking lot. All right? All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. We're going to read the first six verses for our scripture reading this morning, and then Brother John will come and sing for us. Isaiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, here's what the Bible says. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee.
though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And let's pray again together. Father, bless your word as we preach it. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Remind us that you are worthy of our trust. And if we put our trust in you, there's nothing that we should fear. Bless John as he sings. Thank you for Kelly's song. And then, Father, bless the preaching of your word. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to speak on the word trust. Trust. If we could have sung a congregational hymn, I would have asked Adam to sing, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Each of the hymns in our hymn book has a scripture on the top of it. And the scripture that's in our hymn book on top of this song is the first part of Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 that we read. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will trust. This morning, I want to say six things about the word trust. And I'm going to say these six things in the form of questions. And so I'm going to ask a question, six different questions, and then I'm going to answer that question, all revolving about the word trust. And so, I won't tell you how many points. I haven't preached in person for 10 weeks, so I'm going to try to get as much in as I can this morning. I know that... Now, again, I forgot to make this announcement. When we get ready to go out, let the cars in the back of you go out first. Don't try to speed and get out first by zipping in and out. We don't want to have any accidents. So let those that are parked behind you go out first, and hopefully none of you will need to leave before I get done. But here's the six questions. Number one, whom not to trust? If we're going to trust somebody, we ought to know who not to trust. And I have three subpoints under this point. First of all, don't trust yourself. Now, when I talk about trust this morning, I'm going to talk about two things. I'm going to talk about trust for eternity. Who do you trust to get ready for forever? Who do you trust to get ready for when we leave this earth and go out into eternity? And then I'm going to speak about the word trust when it comes to living our lives in this world. Who do we trust to get by day? Who do we trust in this time when we're quarantined and when our activities are limited? Who do we trust to meet our needs, not only our physical needs, but our emotional needs and our psychological needs? And so I say to you, for salvation, for eternity, and for to live today, don't trust yourself. We cannot save ourselves. Many people think if they do enough good things that God will just forgive their sin. That's not the way it works. There's nothing that we can do to get God to forgive our sin. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough good works. We can't join the church. We can't get baptized. We can't take communion. All of those are good things. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it's not of works. And so there's nothing that we can do to gain salvation. And then don't trust yourself for what you need day to day. There's an amen from a dog. Who says dogs don't have spirituality? But don't trust yourself for what you need day to day. Look, our strength will fail. our intellect will fail. There will come a time that we cannot provide for ourselves and take care of ourselves. So don't trust yourself for eternity. Don't trust yourself to take care of day-to-day things. Then subpoint number two, under point number one, don't trust others. I have friends, and you have friends too. And we trust them because we've been through things with them. But I remind you, your friends cannot get you into heaven. Your friends cannot make you right with God. There's nothing your best friend can do. There's nothing the friend that you've had for years and years, maybe a childhood friend that has stayed close into adulthood and old age. There's nothing, even though they may want to. I have several friends. If I could, I would just put their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I would do the things, if it was possible, to save them. But I can't do that. And neither can your friends. They cannot help you get ready for heaven. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. And even though your friends may help you in this day from time to time, they cannot meet all your needs. They may be able to meet some of your physical needs. They may be able to meet some of your emotional needs. They may even be able to meet some of your psychological needs. But there are needs that every person has that cannot be met by another person. There are needs that every person has that can only be met by God. And then subpoint number three, don't trust things. Don't trust things. Don't trust money. Don't trust the stock market. Don't trust the things of the world. They may offer pleasure for a season, the Bible says, but in the end, they are not eternal. They won't last. Things. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot give your way into heaven. You cannot use the things of the world to get into heaven. And even though God has blessed us in this nation, even though he has blessed us with material things, there are needs in a person's life, in every one of our lives that things will not meet. So, whom not to trust? Don't trust yourself. Don't trust others. Don't trust things. They won't work for eternity, and they won't work in this day and age. All right, number two then. If we shouldn't trust ourselves, if we shouldn't trust others, if we shouldn't trust things, who should we trust? Well, Isaiah tells us in that verse that we read, God is my salvation, Lord Jehovah is my strength, I will trust him. I will trust him. We need to trust God. David said in Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. We don't need to trust any other man. We don't even need to trust any elected official or those that have authority over us. We need to pray for them. But our trust is not in the government. Our trust is not in elected officials. Our trust should be in Almighty God. He's the one we need to trust. He's the only one we need to trust for salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you won't get to God any other way than by coming through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus knows what we need today, and he will provide everything we need today. Everything that you and I need today will be provided by Jesus Christ. He talked about it in John chapter 6. He said, look, God, look at the sparrows. They don't plant, they don't reap, and yet God feeds them. He said, look at the lilies of the field. They don't They don't spin. They don't array themselves. God arrays them, and even Solomon in all of his glory could not compare to the lilies of the field dressed by God. That song says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust others. Don't trust things. They can't save you. They can't give you what you need day to day. Trust God. He is our salvation. He is our strength. He will give us what we need day to day. Point number three, when should we trust? When to trust? And the answer to that is now. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Now, this moment is the moment to receive Christ as your Savior and trust him. I can't trust myself. I can't trust others. I can't trust things. But I can trust Jesus. He lived among us. He lived a perfect life, yet tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then he went to the cross. And God laid on him every one of my sins. And he wants to save every single person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When should we trust him? Now. Now. This moment. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, this is the moment. This is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Some people say, well, I don't believe in eternity. I believe when this life is over, that's the end. There's nothing else to come. I hate to bust your bubble, but you're wrong. You're mistaken. This book tells me that when we leave this earth, there's an eternity that we'll go into, that our life will not end. It will go on. It will go on either in heaven if we trusted Christ or in hell if we've rejected him. So when should we accept him? Now. This is the moment. This is the day to trust Jesus for your eternity. This is also the day to trust him to meet our needs. Listen, the only time that I need anything is now. Yesterday is gone. I have no promise of tomorrow. All of my needs are wrapped up in today. And today I have a God. Today, I have a Savior that will meet every need that I have. And he's proven it down through the ages. When the Israelites were going through, making their way to the Promised Land, and in punishment, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. When did God feed them? He fed them today. He sent manna from heaven every day, sent twice as much on Friday so they wouldn't have to gather on the Sabbath. But every day, God provided their need. Every day. In the model prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." He will give us what we need day by day to meet every need. So, when do we need to trust him? We need to trust him now. Number four, how should we trust him? How should we trust him? We need to trust him with our whole heart, our whole being. Half-hearted trust won't work. The Bible says, cast yourself upon the Lord. Throw yourself upon the Lord. All of yourself. Don't hold anything back. Listen, You can't trust Jesus 50% and something else 50% to get you into heaven. It doesn't work that way. You can't trust Jesus 90% and something else 10% to get you into heaven. It doesn't work that way either. You can't even trust Jesus 99% and trust something else 1%. You have to trust Jesus with everything. You have to trust Jesus with all you are. He said, I am the way. He's 100% of the way. He's not 50% of the way, and you have to add good works to it. He's not 90% of the way, and you have to add something to it. He's not even 99% of the way, and you have to add something to it. He's 100% of the way. There's no other way. There's no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ to get into heaven. And in the same way, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Give him all your worries. Give him all your heartaches. Give him all your trials. Give him all your fears. Cast them to the Lord. Throw them to the Lord. All of them. You know what the trouble is? Many of us take them to the Lord. Then we take them back. Say, Jesus, I'm going to give you this heartache. I'm going to give you this trial. I'm going to give you this fear. And then we say, you keep half of it, I'll take half of it back. Or you keep 70% and I'll take 30% back. Or you keep 99% and I'll take 1% back. Listen, why don't we just trust him all the way? Why don't we just cast every care up on him and leave them with him and trust him that he will take care of us every single day? Number five, who will trust? Who will trust? Those that know him. There's people in this parking lot this morning that I trust. I trust. And I trust them because we have been through the valleys together. We have been through heartaches together. We have been through trials together. There's some here that I don't trust as much as others. Not because I like you any less, but because we haven't had those same experiences. We haven't walked through the valley of the shadow of death together. We haven't walked through sicknesses together. How do we trust God? Who trusts God? Those that know him. That's how we trust God. We get to know him. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God tells me that I'm a sinner. The word of God tells me that Jesus died for me. The word of God tells me that he suffered in my place. The word of God tells me that I've come. If I come and ask him to save me, he will do it. I've been a Christian for many, many years. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that I have an advocate in heaven that represents me before the God the Father and pleads the blood for every one of my sins. And then I know God because he's helped me live every day of my life. Every need that I've had my whole life has been met by God. I have proved him o'er and o'er to know that he is trustworthy. The song says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. And then number six, what is the fruit of trust? What are the benefits of trust? I'm only going to mention one this morning. The lack of fear, not being afraid. Behold, Isaiah says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I won't be afraid of eternity. If I've trusted Christ, I know where I'm headed. I'm headed for heaven. I'm going to live with God. I'm going to live with Jesus. I'm going to live with the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever. It's not a fear to die. I may fear the process of dying, but I don't fear dying because I know where I'm headed. I know that I'm going to be with Christ. I know I'm going to that mansion that he has prepared for me in heaven. And you can know that same thing. You don't have to have a fear of eternity. You don't have to have a fear of what happens when this life is over. You can know for sure that you belong to Christ and that heaven is your eternal home. And I don't have to fear today. As Brother Bill mentioned as he was closing his Sunday school lesson, I've never lived in a day like today. And it's easy today to be afraid. To be afraid of what's going to happen next. To be afraid that I'm going to catch this thing and I'm going to die. Listen. I've told 100 people, if I've told one, the past 8 weeks. When God is ready for you to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven. And there's nothing any man can do to stop you. But if God is not ready for you to go to heaven, you ain't going. Pardon the English, all you teachers that are sitting out there. But until God calls your number, you're not going. So I'm not going to live in fear. Yes, there's lots of things happening that may cause people to fear. But we are not going to live in the spirit of fear. We're going to live in the spirit of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who provides what we need day by day by day by day. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it today? Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Would you bow your heads with me, please? If again, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I can't have an invitation. I can't have you walk up front. I can't have you walk the aisle. But I can help you pray. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, understand that you're a sinner. Understand that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God now and forever. But God loved you. He loved you as an individual. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for your sin. And the Bible says that if we believe in our heart that Jesus did that for us and confess him, in other words, call out to him and say, Jesus, save me, then he would do that. And if you're here today and you've never believed and confessed, would you do that right now? Would you just simply say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I deserve the punishment of sin, but I believe that you died in my place, and I'm asking you right now to be my Savior. If you'll pray that, if you'll believe in your heart and call out to him, he will save you. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here that's never done that, that they would do that during this moment, that they would just call out to Jesus, ask for the salvation, the gift of salvation that he purchased on Calvary for them. And Father, that you would hear that prayer. We know you'll hear it. We know you'll answer it. We know that you'll give them the gift of salvation. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to endure. Help our faith to grow. Help our trust to grow. Because we have a God who deserves every bit of our faith and every bit of our trust. Thank you for this time we've been able to get together, for the word that we heard in Sunday school, for the word that we heard in the service. I pray, Father, you'd embed that word deep in our heart, and we would serve others, and we would trust you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.